You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. It's very good to have with us Jose Cardenas, one of the great men focusing on the Western Hemisphere with long experience in our government and now doing his best in a terrific outfit called Vision America, where he is an associate, and also with a blog at Foreign Policy Magazine's Shadow Government. Jose Cardenas is our guest. He worked formerly at the Department of State, the National Security Council, and USAID, including as the acting administrator for AID's programs in Latin America. Jose, it is so good to have you with us. Welcome back.
Thank you, Frank. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Let me start by asking you about something that's not so pleasant, and that is the state of affairs in Venezuela. I happened to drive by the Organization of American States headquarters here in Washington yesterday, Jose, and there was a very vocal crowd outside. It turned out, of all things, they were pro-Maduro people. I reckon the farther away you are from Venezuela, the more likely you are to find a pro-regime group. But what's afoot there, Jose? I'm hearing very ominous things about what's left of democracy and freedom in that country.
Right, Frank. The yesterday at the Organization of American States, they had a special meeting of the foreign ministers of the member states, Latin American Caribbean governments, to discuss the crisis in Venezuela. And as you note, Venezuela has been in its, frankly, latest spiral of violence and anarchy and repression. So the Secretary General of the OAS, a Uruguayan by the name of Luis Almagro, has been pushing hard the member states of the OAS to take up the issue of Venezuela there. Unfortunately, the organization regressed to its natural state of fecklessness and merely voted to continue to discuss the situation in Venezuela, even as the violence continues.
Jose, this is really regrettable because the OAS seemed to have been actually standing up on its hind legs for democracy there for a bit. It's business as usual. And what does that mean, as you see it, for Maduro's ambitions to essentially put to death what's left, those last vestiges of it, democracy in his country, notably with this so-called Constituent Assembly initiative?
Right, Frank. It is a sad state of affairs. I must say, though, that there were a number of governments that did try to act responsibly and try to be active on behalf of, as you said, rescuing the last vestiges of democracy. They were undercut, however, by another half of the organization who in the past benefited from Hugo Chavez's oil largesse, which of course has dried up. So they have accomplished nothing, and it means that the diplomatic pressure is off the Maduro regime, and they will continue. There is no incentive or pressure for them to do anything other than what they are doing, and that is consolidating a dictatorship. As you said, Frank, the latest maneuver is to distract from the violence in the street by calling for a new constitutional assembly to rewrite the constitution that Hugo Chavez bestowed on Venezuela,
which was pretty adverse to democracy in its own right, as I recall. But this is apparently being taken right out of the Cuban playbook. Is that your understanding, Jose?
Yes, yes. The crisis in Venezuela is being stage managed by the communists in Cuba, and that is a result of we can thank Barack Obama for rescuing the Castro regime with its bestowal of legitimacy, and now the Cubans are repaying U.S. concessions by stage managing the crisis in Venezuela to consolidate dictatorship on behalf of some woolly-minded socialism of the 21st century.
Speaking of Cuba, Jose Cardenas, let me ask you about reports that the Trump administration is actively considering essentially ripping up the deal that the previous administration made, as you say, that provided life support and legitimacy for the Cubans. Do you think that is in the offing and should be, in fact, the new policy of the U.S. government?
Yes, Frank, President Trump had indicated that during the campaign that his biggest criticism of Obama's overtures to the Castro regime was that we received nothing in return. There was no reciprocity. There were no concessions made by the Castros to Obama's overtures. So I think that very much so, there is a review going on within the executive branch. Part of the problem, however, is that the State Department and the relevant agencies that will be participating in that overview are still not populated with political appointees. Most of them are the careerists who have been, frankly, involved in the Obama overtures to Castro. So it is a I'm optimistic that there is going to be some sobriety reintroduced into the relationship simply because the Obama policy has been such a failure. It has resulted in nothing to the benefit of U.S. interests in Latin America, and I'm hopeful that again there would be some demands for concessions, some actions from the Cubans to level the playing field in terms of this, instead of this one-sided Obama deal.
Yeah. Well, listen, as long as we're hoping, let's hope that we actually see them return to the status quo ante and take, you know, the position, as I believe we should, and I know you do, Jose Cardenas, that American interests lie with freeing the people of Cuba, not perpetuating their enslavement by the Castro regime. And let me ask you about one other thing before I let you go. Back, I guess, in a way to Venezuela, but really it is as much about us as it is about provenance of an arrangement whereby Russia may obtain a very substantial number of assets in the United States as a result of a deal with PDVSA, the Venezuelan oil conglomerate. Should we be concerned about that arrangement, not only for what it does presumably to help the Venezuelan regime persist, but also for our own energy and perhaps even national security, Jose?
Absolutely, Frank. It's a very good point. We were talking about Cuba stage managing the crisis in Venezuela. The two other actors that are have a vested interest in consolidating the Maduro dictatorship in Venezuela are Russia and China. And Russia is maneuvering to take advantage of the crisis in Venezuela to, as you said, to strengthen its international presence and take advantage of the PDVSA's relationship with Citgo in the United States. Fortunately, there are members of Congress and the Trump administration are watching this very closely, and there is no interest whatsoever in allowing Russia to take advantage of this situation and wind up in a position of ownership of Citgo or refineries in the Gulf of Mexico that process the heavy crude that Venezuela produces. These are the exact type of refineries that should be processing Canadian heavy crude.
Jose, we are out of time. There's so much more to talk about. I appreciate your visiting with us today and look forward to resuming this conversation. Hopefully, as we see progress on all three of these fronts, as you've just forecast. Thank you for your work at Vision America. Come back to us again soon.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.